It's not time to comment
very much on them, but I want to call attention to one verse. I read several, but call attention to one verse particularly. This is the wonderful chapter that tells about the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Verse 11, John 10:11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. 14, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is our message when we go to Africa and go to the missions fields. It's to tell about the Lord Jesus' love for lost sheep. You know, he had sent out his disciples, the 12 and then the 72, sent them out to 70 or 72, translation give it differently, sent them out to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. Lost sheep of Israel. He laid down his life for the sheep, but not only for those of Israel. Now let me read verse 16. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, not one fold, one flock and one shepherd. Read it again. The Lord Jesus said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. What fold? Israel. Bound around, encircled by laws and the law. And the gospel is for them too. He came first to them, to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came first to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. And there were those who believed. But there are other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. This is the obligation. I must bring. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He's not calling the Gentiles to go into the fold of Israel and the law. He's calling them, as I mentioned briefly this morning, he's calling them to come around the shepherd, like those people who went down to David when he was in the cave of Adullam. They didn't go down there because of the cave. There was nothing there of interest. They went around there because of David. They loved David. Their hope was in him. Those who were discontented and who were in debt and had all sorts of problems in sin, they went down to David. Their hope was in him. There was a man, a missionary in Africa years ago, in Zaire, years ago, in Congo they called it then, Dan Crawford, and his name was Kongavantu. Kongavantu. And those languages known as the Bantu languages in Africa, Konga means to gather together. You send a person to get some firewood, you send him to Konga Kuni, gather Kuni, which is firewood. Or if you're calling for something else, you would tell him to go and Konga these things together. But Bantu or Batu or Watu, all of those forms are languages known as the Bantu languages. And all those languages, if you're speaking about people, you say Bantu or Wantu or Watu or of that word similar to that. That's a Bantu language. What did Dan Crawford's word mean, his name mean? Konga Bantu. Konga means to gather. Bantu means people. Konga Bantu was his name. He was the gatherer of the people. Wherever Dan Crawford went, there was a crowd of people there. They all came because he had a message. And that makes us think of the Lord Jesus Christ when Jacob was speaking to his children, to Judah. He said, the lawgiver shall not depart from Judah, nor the scepter shall not depart from Judah, or a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The Lord Jesus is the gatherer of the people. And in this wonderful 16th verse, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The Lord is calling out from among all the nations a people for his name, gathering around him the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. You could read in Matthew 9 how when the Lord saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. And then he changed the metaphor and said, pray the Lord of the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Other sheep I have, the nations, they're not of this fold of Israel. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. They shall be one flock and one shepherd. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation, that we should, in Christ's stead, doing his work, in Christ's stead, making his voice heard in the gospel to the world, in Christ's stead, beseeching men to be reconciled to God. We've been put in trust with the gospel, and so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as pleasing God, which trieth the hearts. Now, the pictures I'm going to show you tonight are those, many of them, who have heard the gospel, and in some cases, their fathers and mothers heard the gospel, and they've grown up now, and they're serving the Lord, too. They're in the Lord's work. Our hearts rejoice in what God has done in Africa in the years we've been out there in the field. We praise his holy name for it. We realize that we have a responsibility to go and give the gospel to these nations that do not know Christ. And we thank the Lord for areas such as the area around Nyankunde and Lolwa there, where many have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not exaggerating when I say that there are literally thousands who know the Lord Jesus Christ in that area. And in the area around Nyankunde alone, there are 64 assemblies of believers, plus another 115 chapels where they preach the gospel and have Sunday school. And our priority in the work has been to do the work of the Lord in announcing the glad tidings, and the Lord does the miraculous work of saving. Someone asked me not so long ago, how many people had you saved since you've been out there these many years? Well, it's wonderful to say not one, but the Lord has saved many, many, many. We give out the word. My heart is burdened that those of us who are getting older and sort of dropping out from some parts of the work might not be replaced by some who would come out and live with the people and show them friendship and help them in their service for the Lord, in their testimony for the Lord. Actually, it is a wonderful thing that we've been able to turn the work over to the Africans largely, but they want and they need help in certain areas. And I realize that this would be a criticism for some that after the years we've been out there, that there's still need for some missionaries. But the assemblies of believers, the local churches, are completely in the hands of the African Christians. But we have other work that goes along with the preaching of the gospel than Hudson Taylor used to call it a scaffolding in connection with the building. Scaffolding that's going to be taken away. The real thing that's going to remain is that spiritual work which is forming the local assemblies of Christians throughout the area. There's need. In this time when some of us are pulling out largely, we're not abandoning the work. My wife and I, God willing, hope to go back in April for three months, and perhaps every year we'll go back in this way to visit them and preach the gospel too, but largely that's taken over by the African believers. But they want in their local assemblies, they want us to come and minister the word to them, encourage their hearts, show our love for them, go back and help them in the press for in some measure as they carry that publication work themselves. And I would like to say that you'll see these pictures, and I'll give you some of the statistics as we're going along. And if anyone would like to speak with me concerning the possibilities of going to Africa, where you'd be welcome among the Christians there, not to go out as dominating, not to go out as being big buenas, as we say, on the mission field, but just to work alongside of the African believers there, there's a tremendous work to be done. And there's need for new blood among the missionaries to carry the burden of the work. Not the responsibilities of the direction of the work, the African Christians will carry this, but just as helpers, be helpers in their faith. Now, we have half an hour, and I'm going to stop when it's 6 o'clock, God willing, we're going to stop. And in the meantime, I'll give you a little explanation, picture by picture, as it comes out on the screen. Now, if we may have the lights out and the projector put on, we'll give you the... I'm sorry, I didn't put that on. Do you suppose I got it anyway? All right, put it on now.
Somebody has pulled our cord out. There we are. Now, this is the linguistic picture. And I brought a pointer up here, but I seem to have lost it. Thanks very much. The areas shown in green are areas where French is the language spoken. That is the European language spoken. In other words, these are former French or Belgian territories. This in the center area, this area through here, that's Zaire. There's another map on the wall back there with some of the literature too. And if you're interested in seeing what Swahili looks like, you can look at some of the books there. They're not for sale. They're just samples of what we do there at Nyankundi. Where you see green, French is spoken in addition to the vernacular. Where you see white, that is no green, the language is English, excepting for two countries, the country of Mozambique and Angola, where the language spoken is... What is it? I hear one voice. What do they speak in Angola and Mozambique?
Portuguese.
And you'll know men like Don Cole and David Long and men of that caliber. These are men who have come and served the Lord in Angola, and some are out there at the present time. So we have the white areas, English-speaking, with the exception of the two, Angola and Mozambique, which are Portuguese-speaking, and then the green is all French-speaking. So that you'll see that Zaire, the center country there, we have the French language. And we speak not only French, but we speak the African dialects as well. Now, there are over 200 African dialects in Zaire alone. We don't manage 200, but we manage a few of them, and that makes the word clear as we're giving it out to them. Now, a few pictures showing you how we travel over there at the present time. Well, this is a river quite close to Nyankundi, the Shari River, and when we go across to the assemblies beyond the river, we must cross on a pirogue, as we call it in French, one of these dugout canoes. Or, if you want to cross further downstream, you can cross on this vine bridge, which is made of vines strung from a tree on one side to a tree on the other. Of course, out in the rain and the sun, it rots pretty quickly, and one's always wondering when it's going to fall down, especially when one realizes that there are crocodiles in the water below. Most of our traveling, however, is by car, as far as the car can get through, and then we walk the rest as we go on our way to the villages beyond. This is a Range Rover car, a four-wheel drive. In fact, it's always in four-wheel drive. It's a bridge car, very powerful car. Here, sometimes, however, the road is so poor and so slippery after the rain that we have to be pulled or pushed up the hill. Now, I'm going to show you quickly a little glimpse of four forest stations in the area in which we have been working. Some of you may know these names, but I'd like to tell you something of what is being done in that northeastern corner of Zaire. This is the station of Itende, where Brother Barry McDowell, who was commended by the assembly in Fort Dodge, Iowa, is working. This is the whole station. You see it all right there. They're in the forest. This area has been cultivated land, and that's why the trees are cut down, knocked down there. That's the Itende with Barry McDowell and his wife there. This is their landing strip, because if it weren't for the MAF, the Missionary Aviation Fellowship, we would have a hard time working in our field, because the roads are very poor indeed. Well, this is the field at Itende, the station I just showed you in the last picture. And here's the plane that lands on that field. It is a Cessna 185. We have two of those at Nyankundi, and then we have another two-engined plane. These are the Missionary Aviation Fellowship planes. Well, Ken Dirks came to pick me up there at the field, and after he passed, this tree had fallen down, so when we arrived, these pygmies came. We couldn't pass through because of the tree there, and some pygmy women came to greet us. They were just passing by. They'd been up visiting at Itende to get some medicine. Now, they're pretty well clothed for pygmy women. Some of them we don't like to show very much, but these are few near Itende in the forest. And so we get the road clear of the tree, and on our way, the women are saying goodbye to us. here in the station of Itende, one of the African evangelists preaching the gospel to some who've come in for medicine. This is the chapel at Itende, built by the people there, and largely Brother Ken Dirks, who is from Holland, Michigan. Two men, a man and his wife from Nyankundi, who are very well taught in the Word. He has done as well the theology school there at Bunya, right near to us. He's a very well-taught brother, and his wife, a fine worker with women and Sunday school work. Now, they are conducting special classes there at Itende, and this has been more or less the preparation of a sort of a Bible school there, a resumption of a Bible school we had had previously at Nyankundi. This is Brother Ken Dirks of Holland, Michigan, and Lois Pellegrin of Maplewood, New Jersey. They were holding the fort while the McDowells were on furlough. Now we go to Lulua. This is a station I was privileged to open in 1930 in the forest. I was out there, went out there as a single man, and we started knocking down trees. I remember when the first tree came crashing down and the sunshine came into that dark forest interior, it was just like a promise of gospel light that was coming to those needy people. Now, this is the chapel at Lola, and my sister and her husband are the workers there with Margaret Dawes from Canada. Here are the Spees, Bill and Ella Spees, and they are carrying on with the work at Lola and the pygmy work that's very large there. And then another of the stations, this is the third I'm showing you of the forest stations, we have our brother Arne Len Hartson of Norwegian descent. And he has been the missionary there in this outlying pioneer post. And you can pray for men like this because many of the comforts of life have to be surrendered in going to a location like this. It's not a hair shirt deal exactly, but it's definitely a hard time. And our brother is a conscientious man of God, and we praise the Lord for him. This is their chapel at the station of Akokora. And here's Brother Len Hartson with his, I suppose you'd call it a piano keyboard harmonica. And he's blowing the wind through that pipe in order to make it work. And he's teaching choruses. Of course, he can't teach the chorus while he's playing, but in between playing and singing, he's able to teach the young people. Here he is with his wife, Arne Len Hartson, and Suleg Len Hartson, and the bookmobile, which we gave to them from the press at Nyankundi. And last term they went from place to place in the forest where books were not available and were able to distribute books and give out tracts. And they'd come back after 2 or 3 months away over distant points having distributed literature. Because in Zaire there's a literacy now of about 53%, which is rather high for Africa. Now the fourth of those four forest stations is the station of Chabi. T-C-H-A-B-I. And over yonder you see Pearl Winterburn. She's the missionary there. Here's the chief of that whole clan there. His name is Paolo, and he's in fellowship in the local church there at Chabi. And these are three of the elders there. And these three men are itinerating elders. They go about among all of those 64 assemblies. In fact, more than that, there are 88 assemblies in the whole area, including the other stations in Nyankundi, with 64 in Nyankundi and a total of 88. I had just come for a couple of hours there. The plane is waiting. And here was the reception committee as we arrived. Here's Pearl Winterburn. Pray for her. She has bad rheumatism, or shall we call it arthritis. At any rate, her knees are swollen, and she's not able to do that type of work she was doing. She's an expert in leprosy and maternity and in general African medicine and its cure by the medicines they have there. Here's a child that's just recently born, and she's checking up on it. Pearl is not able to do the long clinic work she was doing previously because she would drive with her Land Rover to the end of the road and then go on by foot for another hour or three quarters of an hour, but now she can't do that extra piece. She can only go where the car can take her. Now, there's an opportunity for some qualified nurse who might feel the call of God to go work alongside of Pearl Winterburn there and perhaps, who knows, eventually replace her in the work. This is Joyce, her assistant, maternity expert, and a general helper in the work for many, many years, godly sister. this is one of the lost sheep who has been brought into the flock to the Lord. This is a Christian woman expecting a little one, and her blood pressure is being checked by the African nurse. Over yonder in the end, again, Pearl Winterburn, Juicy there in the center, and the others are men who have work to do. They're trained men, trained at Nyankundi, where we have a medical center trained there, and now working at the Chabi dispensary. Of course, in French, we would say le dispensaire Chabi. Now you're at Nyankundi, which is our fifth station, and Nyankundi itself is in the open country, but we have fingers of forest that come quite close to Nyankundi, and in that area we also have pygmies. I might say on each of those forest stations there is a work among pygmies as well as at Lola, although the greatest work is at Lola. Now you'd see more buildings there, but the trees have grown up and they're not really visible at the present time. This is the landing strip at Nyankundi with three planes and three pilots of the MAF there. Here's a case that was brought in, two stretcher cases. There was an accident of two missionaries of the Conservative Baptist Mission, and we sent two of the planes to bring them in, and this is the wife who was very badly injured. She did recover here at Nyankundi, but she and her husband, 2 months later, were over in Kenya, in East Africa, and another person was driving the car, it was a different car, the first car was totaled, but they were over there, and there was a truck left without lights at night on the road, and they crashed into the car, and she was killed. But this is the day she was brought in for the first accident, and she did recover from that. This was her husband, and he was very badly injured, and he recovered, but not completely. He is crippled in his leg for life. These are two of the pilots of the MAF, godly men, and doing a service for the Lord, and we appreciate it. This is the two-engine plane we received fairly recently. It's an Italian plane known as a Partenavia. This is the chapel at Nyankundi. Normally we say it holds 800, but if they have some of the younger people along too and they sit together, they can get 1,000 in, especially with some standing around. After a meeting, they're outside always chatting and enjoying being together. This is part of the interior, showing men speaking up there in back in the chapel at Nyankundi. We have a band there too for the general meetings. And these are Africans who have learned how to play the instruments from a brother by the name of Austin Paul of the African Mission. He was in the area and he taught some Africans to play these instruments, and they taught one another, and they really do a good job of it. You should hear them playing Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, I mean. It's amazing that they themselves, they teach one another. In addition to that, there are actually 23 who are playing instruments, and they've said if I find any unused brass instruments while on furlough, be sure and bring them out to them because they'd be glad to have them. Then as well, there are chorales. This is Perpetua. She's had polio. She's a very lovely Christian girl and has a lovely voice. This is her chorale, and they sing frequently. In fact, there are 13 chorales at Nyankundi who take turns for their singing. Sometimes we can't have the meetings inside, so for special times we go outside. You have crowds. I'm actually photographing this between two trombones, and that's my second daughter, Sally Deans, there in the foreground. Here are some of the elders at Nyankundi. There are 19 elders in the assembly at Nyankundi, and they meet every Tuesday. We met when I was there every Tuesday after the Bible reading. Now this is another section of them. This is their Wednesday afternoon, the first Wednesday of every month. They have a long time every the afternoon studying the Word and praying together apart from the assembly. These are the three itinerating elders, old men now, but we've known them, of course, for many, many years, and they know the Lord, and they spend their time going around and helping the others. In the medical work, there's also a chapel just for patients. Sunday afternoon, here's Dr. Kyle giving a word in the gospel. We have a medical school as well with 81 students in the school, and when they complete the course, they receive a government diploma, and they are RNs. Most of the 81, 18 are girls, and the rest are all men. Most of the nurses in Africa or in Zaire are male. And here, instruction is given as to bed care, nurse showing the students how to do it. This is Yvan Dain, one of the missionaries who was commended by the assembly in Lausanne, Switzerland. She's a teacher in the medical school. She was teaching about the heart when Dr. Jack Barlow, who is the editor of Missions Magazine, arrived, and he wanted to see the hospital. I took him around, and he saw this, and he said, "Why, she's teaching about the heart. Would they like to hear about my heart surgery, my bypass surgery?" And I said, "Well, I'll ask her." And so I asked her, and spoke in French, of course. And she said, "Yes, tell him to come up." So he went up, and he explained how he had his operation and what happened. And he said, "They took a vein from another part of my body, and they put it in. I'm feeling just fine." And so they said, "Well, where did you get the vein?" And so he said, "Well, that they took it out of my leg there." And they enjoyed that class. They'll never forget it. And they learned something about surgery. Now, these are some who had just received their diploma, and just a few of a larger class, and girls too, but I just could not resist photographing them. They were so happy that the study work was done. I missed one there. I don't know if I can get that back or not. I go back once more if I can. Oh, I'm going the wrong way, I'm afraid. Sorry about this. I'm going to make an effort again because I want you to see some of those. Well, we're not, I'm sorry, I'm not getting my, we go on from here then. This is the man who's receiving blankets. These are lepers. And someone from this country sent along some funds, blankets for lepers. And so here we were giving the blankets to them. And there's an assembly of Christians there. This is the assembly in the village known as Ganda. And that's their chapel. That's all they could manage. But there they are. They remember the Lord. Every Lord's Day morning they have their meeting. And the man with the Bible is the teacher. And they come together. They're all, with the exception of this one, I believe, this one woman who is not a leper, but her husband, the man with the Bible, is a leper. But she has lived with him for many years. And these are missionaries who've just come out to the field last year. Rob Laird and Marlene Laird, they're missionaries from Vancouver. And he's a pharmacist, and he's taken over from Dr. Bob Watt, who is a pharmacist there. Over yonder, you recognize Dr. Harlow and his wife, and this is Jack Barlow, a Ph.D. by the name of Barlow, and there's a Ph.D. by the name of Harlow, and their visits coincided last December, and I got some pictures of them together. This is our second daughter, who's a nurse and back on the field. She was caring for her sister, Pat, who went back to the field in June because Pat seemed to be getting so much better, but the Lord took Pat home just 2 weeks ago today. This is Bob Watt and his family, and three of his four children. Can't quite keep up with Bob and keep slides that are up to date here. Now, this is a group of the workers at Nyankundi last year. We have Mary Watson on the extreme left, and Hugh Bain, and my wife who's with the Lord, and then Mary Deans, my sister-in-law, and this is Marion Baisley, Jane Winterling, and Betty Deans. You realize that Betty and I just had we were just married a few weeks ago. And Betty worked with me in the literature work there for 25 years. There, and he wanted to see the studio. We have now a studio that is completely compatible. All the instruments are working together wonderfully. This provision was made by assemblies in Switzerland, and it's first class. Now, quickly, some of the schoolwork. When we go preach the gospel, we are engaged in other things to help the African people. And Nyankundi has become famous by the government and others around in our interest in the whole man. We don't shy in connection with, I want to say these words in French, bien-être, which means, what does it mean? It means welfare, connection with welfare. We are interested in helping them, and this is our high school at Nyankundi. And here's one of the teachers. Here is one of the classes in the six years of high school. And when they complete that, now this is the principal of the high school. He's a godly man who was a boy at Nyankundi and went through all our schools and then went to college. And now he's back at Nyankundi and he is the principal of our high school. Then we have the home economics school, and my sister-in-law Mary Deans is in charge of the school. She teaches sewing and and cooking and these things that are necessary for a girl to know these days. Just some very fine handwork, always a matter of interest to the people. Now this is the press. I took the picture from the air and I failed to get past the wheel of the plane. It gives you an idea of the general layout there. From the ground angle, these are the buildings of Editions Evangeliques, as we call it, where we print the Christian literature. And here are the three men who are in charge of that work. Now, these are mature men. They're trained, well-trained. Brother Shadrach Kahigwa, on the left there, he is the director of the press work. And the man in the center is the shop foreman, and here is the man who is in charge of the bookkeeping and secretarial work, not only of the press work, the publishing work, but also a help in the assemblies from a standpoint of correspondence. These are some of the workers in the press, Editions Evangeliques. There's Brother Bain from Belgium, who's the only technical advisor there, and Betty has been there in the editorial, but now they're on their own since she is there. Here's Brother Shadrach Kahigwa, the director of the press, very happily married, has three children. Here's his secretary, girl with a lovely voice, and two linotypes, right there in Yunkundi, in the heart of Africa, setting up type. This is Ezekiel Nguerra. This is the man I spoke of this morning, and the one who was so stammered so badly, and he looked to the Lord, and the Lord undertook for him, and he's an expert linotype operator, but he's the Sunday school superintendent as well. Here, type is being set by hand as a headline material, and here it's been put into forms for printing. Now, some of the printing machines, there are four major machines there. Here's one that's for high-speed automatic printing. Just put the forms in place and then the paper, and it goes, does it itself. Sorry, some of these were missing. Weather change in climate, I think. Here's a man preparing for offset. We have both letterpress, which prints by raised type, and offset, which prints by plates that are made by the photographic method. This is the letterpress, one printing by raised type, and this is the machine that prints for offset, lithography. And notice that this work is being carried on by the Africans themselves. Here's Kahigwa again, Shadrach, looking over a proof and okaying it. Now it's being printed on the offset press. This is a press for cutting. All of this in the hands of the Africans. When we went out there first, they were, well, let's say it, their ancestors who were there at the time were just naked savages. They were completely provincial, didn't know anything beyond their own villages, and were totally illiterate. And now they're managing a printing firm. Girls do the stapling, and then the books, this is actually Emmaus course, and there are many of them on the table. You can go and look at them if you like. They're printed there. Here they're cutting the edges off the books, and here are some of the Emmaus courses that are printed there too. And over there are some of the magazines, the gazettes that are printed in Swahili and Lingala. And here's the editor. If you are able to analyze something of the features, you would see that this is a man of very high Christian character with a record that, as far as I know, there's never been any accusation against him for all the years we've known him from childhood. He's a godly man. He ministers the word, sometimes takes them over a period of some months, Tuesday after Tuesday, through a book of the Bible for ministry of the word. These are men who have the gift the Holy Spirit has given to them for ministry of the word. And this is, of course, one edition of one of the Emmaus courses using the old format that we had years ago. This is one of the gatherings of the publications department. That's Jane Winterling over there. Sometimes it was Betty Partridge who was there. And, of course, I'm not on the field now. But these are the men who are managing that press and carrying it on themselves. And here's Betty at work in her office there on the field. And now she's joined forces to work with us where we go and come from here. We buy our paper over in Kenya, and it has to come through Uganda. And it's been amazing that we've been able to get it through without any difficulty. Sometimes the customs in examining don't get it set back on properly, and it falls off as on that occasion. But the paper comes in, we have to order it many months ahead, and we must buy it with outside money. You can't buy anything outside the country with Zaire money. Now, these are tanks of gasoline and diesel fuel that we import from Kenya, from Mombasa on the Indian Ocean. And here you have three trailers and three trucks, all full of gasoline and diesel fuel, so you get some idea of the extent of the work. Now, this is not all for Nyankundi or our own stations, but also other neighboring missions come to Nyankundi for their supplies. Now, the Bible school, of course, our work is largely in French and Swahili and Lingala. Those languages are carried on from Nyankundi, and we've had the center of the Emmaus correspondence coursework of Africa. We've had the center there at Nyankundi, a coordination of the efforts. Here's Brother Butzo giving out Emmaus certificates of those who have completed their courses. This woman was saved and shortly afterwards took the courses and completed the 12 that gave her the right to the first diploma. And this is her husband, who is the chief of the area, a man who was a godless man, who was a wicked man, but the Lord saved him. And this is one of the things that go down in the history of the area, how the Lord saved this man. And he testified for Christ and was baptized. Here he is being baptized, and people of his tribe were there. They couldn't believe it. This is an impossible thing. And since that time, they say, we know that God did this. No one could change a man like Bulamusi except God. And even unbelievers are saying that, and it's true. He's going on actively for the Lord, preaching the gospel in a market. The chief himself is one who has given permission in the markets for the markets in his area. This is a brother preaching them. He has a little microphone there and a loudspeaker behind him in the tree, and they stopped selling while he's preaching 15 minutes. Now, these are a gift. These are gifts from the Christians at their harvest time. I'm going quickly now to show you some of these cows are being, these bull are being, I was going to say trained, they're being raised in order to have materials to sell and to give to the African preachers of the word in their need. And at the present time, the number of cattle they have started with this, first of all, this 24 in this herd, but some of you may know, I've forgotten even the name of that company that has been helping us,
World Mission.
Maybe know about World Vision. Oh, yes, World Vision came in, and they helped us for 2 years. And they raised the number of our herd from 24 to 244. And they introduced Brown Swiss to improve. And they decided that they would take four of the local cattle, local bulls, take off their horns and teach them how to plow. I know that sounds pretty pretty long, old-fashioned here in Iowa, but nevertheless, for Africa, it's a good thing, because they can't afford tractors, and they couldn't get the gasoline for tractors, and so they would not be able to do it. But this, they have the cattle, the Africans in the area, and they're being taught to plow. And this was one of the first times, and now they've taken two crops off the field in soya beans. This man is a soul winner. He is now, I don't know how many he has to his credit before the Lord. We'll know at the judgment seat of Christ. He uses a public address system. This was the time he received one to replace the one worn out. Here's the man who's the editor of the magazine, and he spends his spare time out in the villages giving the gospel and using the instrument with him. There are 157 men who are in full-time gospel work, and they have these bags. Because sisters in this country, in missionary groups, they have sent these to us so that we would be able to, they would have something to carry their Bibles in. And we brought them in. In fact, the Africans brought them in groups and gave them each bags three times. They were able to get 157 in full-time gospel work. Here's the way they're fed when they have their conferences. And here's the time Boyd Nicholson over on the left there and young Nelson, David Nelson, and this is Kahigwa on the, I'm sorry, this is Butzo. You see a Butzo on the right, known to many people. These were the speakers, and those who were helping in the conference. The mission, the ladies that did the making of the food. These are pygmies. They're always interesting to people. They're mimicking chimpanzees here and here as well. And they like to beat the drums and dance. This is the way pygmies are. And they don't care much about clothing. But there are some who know the Lord. These two, for years, have been in fellowship in an assembly near Nyankundi. And even there are even assemblies of only pygmies. There are two in the Iowa area now that are pygmies of the same kind. I'm going to go quickly without much comment just to show you some of these pictures of chapels that are being built. The one in the background is one of leaves. And here they didn't want to have the make the building have to be replaced every couple of years. And so they're building now with stone. They carry the stones in their heads, and this is what they constructed, the one that was in construction in the last picture. And so there's another larger one that it's wonderful to be there during a meeting. They crowd them in tight, and it's, don't know how many there, well over 1,000 would get in. This is a smaller assembly, and baptisms are usually out in the river. And this is my last picture. This is our brother Butzo, and he is showing, he is marrying this couple and trying to push ahead and get it all shown to you. But the man on the left is a physics professor in our high school, and his wife is the chief maternity nurse in the hospital, and they were married at this time. Now if we may have the lights on, please. Thank you. Can I turn it back to you?